Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and you are very welcome back to another episode of Hello Steve-O podcast. And I do want to tell you that I now record these intros just on my phone. I think that's more realistic. It's more intimate. It's the way that we talk to each other, making voice notes. So I like the idea of recording the intros without any fancy studios or lights or microphones or any of that kind of carry-on. It's just me on the phone talking to you like we would to each other. It's just more normal. It's more intimate. Thank you very much, everybody, for all the messages, for all the sharing that you did of the last week's episode with Shannon Basso-Gall. I really enjoyed doing it, but I'm delighted that you're all delighted that it's back. I'm so happy. So thank you for the feedback. Please do keep continuing to share every week. It really means a lot to me. It helps the ratings to go up. It helps the listens to go up. If I get up to a certain number, then maybe Acast might give me a few bob for the old advertising that they get to advertise on my podcast. All those positive things. So it does mean it is important to share with your friends about the podcast. So please do. And if you are watching my reels or liking my reels on Instagram and TikTok in particular, please do share them, send them to people. Like, all that stuff costs you nothing to do. Please do it so that it gets the old algorithm going, and it helps out with the old livelihood, as they say. I'm trying to make Mondays my editing day. That's how I'm trying to get organized, which is a big deal for me, to be honest with you. So as I'm doing this, I don't think this is fucking working. With the added element of doing videos to the podcast, it's actually a shitload more work, more on the admin and the editing front. This is all boring. You don't need to know this. But I'm trying to make Monday the day that I cut the clips for the social media, that I edit the podcast, that I post it, and then it leaves me, hopefully, with the rest of the week to be doing the things that I really want to be doing more of, which is thinking up jokes and writing jokes, etc., etc. So I'm getting there. I'm getting a bit of help, but I think I'm getting there. I think I'm doing okay. So I'm taking control of the old work situation a little bit more, and it actually feels good. It feels good. Little shout out to, I did a few gigs last week, but the standout show, my tour show, Paddy Latino, is still on tour. If you want to go see it, or if you've heard, or if you've been to it already, please do keep spreading the news about it. I'm really proud of this show. That's not to say that this tour has not been difficult, and that's been more on the business side of things, but I'm really, really proud of the show. And it's going really well. I don't know if I'd say it's the best hour I've written. I don't know. It's hard to remember them all. But certainly, the more you go on as a comedian, I think the better you just get as a comedian, as with anything in life. And I'm really proud of this show. I like it as a show. I like it as a piece of work. But also, it seems to be the way that the messing that I do in between the shows, or before, or at the top of the show or in between all the other routines in the show, it just seems to be a bit magical. And I had a bit of a magical night in the Whale Theatre in Greystones, whom I cannot thank enough. They are a absolute wonderful venue. They are so professional. And that means a lot when you're doing the job that we do. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong in venues. They'll get the intro music wrong, or the microphone is doesn't sound great and the audience can't hear you good, or something happens, or even down to the little bits and pieces of being able to have a chair to sit on. The Whale Theatre is unbelievable. We always have a fantastic dressing room with lovely attention to detail there, and your water is ready to go. They have towels because they know you're going to be sweating when you get off stage, and they've all the ironing board and everything is there. It's a lovely peaceful room that's away from the noise of the stage. The sound guy is top notch and knows when to be, he's just doing it on instinct and just knows when to fade in and fade out. And then the seating, the shape of the room is just wonderful for a show. And all these elements together. And actually, on that night, I had fecked up a few bits and pieces that I usually have to have certain things. I like to have certain things lined up so that I... Fuck! I just remembered I forgot the set list again. Damn it! Oh, Jesus. Fuck. Anyways... I was just about to say how I like to have my things in order, and the thing that I did forget in Greystones was the set list to the show, and then I've just realised now that I've left it in the bloody theatre in Greystones again. Anywho, I like to have those types of things all ready to go so that I don't have to think before the show and I can just be keeping as calm as possible. Before my show in Greystones on Friday, I had forgotten the set list. I didn't know where the bloody thing was, so wrote out another one again, which I rarely look at, to be honest with you, but it's just in case you get lost at any point in the show. You just kind of look down and you can say, see, that's what's happening next. I wore a jacket on stage that I've never worn before. I used hair product that I'd never done before, and which didn't really work well. All these little tiny little bits and pieces, the elements that I usually keep in control of so that I don't have to think about it on the day and I can just be thinking about relaxing before the show. All of those were out of sync. But it didn't matter because... Oh yeah, I wore a different pair of shoes as well. None of these things mattered because you just got to be able to go on the fly as well sometimes. And Keith Fox opened for me. He did a fantastic job. He'll be on the podcast soon as well. But what a show. It was unbelievable. And the crack that I got out of just messing with the audience was wonderful. So I genuinely want to say thank you. If you're listening and you're at the show in the Whale in Greystones, we all know it was a pretty special evening. And thank you so much. Thank you to everybody as well who hung around and we did photos and we said hello and all that stuff. It was really wonderful to meet you all. And thank you to all of you who come year on year. I sell out the show with the Whale and Greystones, and I'm so happy to be able to do that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It genuinely means a lot. There will be some clips of that show going up, which you'll all be delighted to hear, because especially if you're at the show, there was absolute wildness. Mick in the front row, if you're listening, I love you and thank you for being such a good sport. It was great crack. And I look forward to hearing what you think about the clips when they go around. Don't worry, it'll all be respectful. It was one of those funny ones where I might have been a bit wild and silly and dirty that I forgot that when I went up to my dressing room, kind of had a little calm down before I went down to say hello to people, just changed out of the sweaty clothes, and standing outside the dressing room with her husband was the head of my agency, the owner of my agency. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I just immediately went, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. She's like, it was wonderful, don't be silly. So, yeah, it was a special evening. So again, thank you so much. The Dublin show is going to happen, right? Pencil a Dublin show into your head for June the 6th. I'm pretty sure it's going to be June the 6th. It's a change of venue, but it'll be at least one Dublin show, but June the 6th will be happening. It is really, again, I haven't been able to get into explaining everything to you yet, and maybe I will do in the newsletter at some point. But sometimes in life, you have a little bit of a kick in the nads, and I got a bit of a kick in the nads with the Dublin show. It didn't go according to plan, and I'll just say, in life, sometimes people aren't really nice to you, and you have to get on with it. And I was really back up against the wall with the Dublin show. On one level, I was considering, I didn't know if I was even going to do one, but it's going to happen. And if you're listening in Dublin, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. When it goes on sale, please, please, please. There's like, you know when you want to give the middle finger to somebody? When those tickets go on sale, I would love that bloody show just to sell out as quick as possible. So get all your friends, I guarantee you a laugh. I guarantee to make your week brighter. I guarantee that you're going to be happier leaving the show. That's for sure. And you can't always guarantee that the magic will happen. But if the magic happens, we'll all be there high as a kite walking out of there, because we'll have gone through a night of absolute comedic mayhem. So it's not on sale yet. I will send it out in the newsletter first and foremost, but when you do hear about it, and if you can go on June the 6th and you are in Dublin, please, 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 let's just sell this bloody show out as quick as bloody possible, because I really need to do that for me, but also because I'm giving you a good show. But also, as I said, I've been up against it in many, many different ways, and things completely out of my control and nothing of my doing. And sometimes you can go, life's not fair, blah, 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 whatever. I'm just cracking on, and I want to have a great Dublin show. Coming up this week, I'm going to be in Dolan's in Limerick. If you're in Limerick, please do come to the show. Come on Saturday. I think there's still a few tickets left. Last year's show was amazing in Limerick, and I know there's already a few hardcore fans that have bought their tickets. And I probably have to say to you, do not sit in the front row, because I know you too much now. So please don't sit in the front row if I know you. I've chatted before in Limerick, so I can take the piss out of somebody else. No, all in good spirits. That's it for now. That's today's intro done. You've got a fantastic podcast coming up with you with a really good friend of mine, a bloody brilliant comedian, Sinead Walsh, and you're going to really enjoy this episode. They're going to be back on regularly onto the show, I hope so, along with Shannon and a few other people. So we're just hoping to get back to having just regular people on the show so we can have the crack. We talked about all sorts of stuff. We talked about Conor McGregor. We talked about the controversy in England with the St. George's Cross. This one was recorded a couple of weeks ago, in fairness, so it was very current at the time, but yeah, some great chats coming up in today's conversation. If you want to keep up to date with all the things I'm doing, sign up to the mailing list. Go to thestephenmullen.com and sign up to the mailing list. Follow me on all the social platforms. And again, as I said, the best way that you can help me, we're not at the Patreon level or any of that kind of stuff, but the best way that you can help me right now is to tell at least one other person about the podcast, share it on your social media platforms, like the videos, comment on the videos, send me any questions you have about the podcast, or you want me to talk about something in particular on the podcast, please do get in touch on the social medias, or you can email hellostevopodcast@gmail.com. You have a fantastic episode ahead of you. I've finished pacing around my living room as I've recorded this long voice note to you all. Peace and love, and thanks for listening. See you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Hello Steve-O Podcast. A very special guest I have with you today, representing the Ireland is Full community. It is Sinead. It's not true. Jesus. Cut that out.
Leave it in.
That's not going out. Sinead Walsh, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
Good to have you here, mate. Thanks for coming on. Delighted to have you on again.
Thank you for having me.
It's a big week. Do we have a new T-shirt yet?
I don't think the transition has happened just yet. Right. I think it's like April or something that's going to, you know.
Oh, is it April?
He's working his notice as far as I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, well, let's explain what the T-shirt is to people who are not from this neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. It's what the English would call the Prime Minister.
And what they insist on calling the Prime Minister as well, as in Ireland's Prime Minister.
Oh, do they say
that? Yeah, constantly. I saw someone go at the BBC, some little mouth going at the BBC, being like, it's not even hard to say, just say
no,
it.
No, it's just cup of tea and you got a shock.
Electric
tea
shock.
Yeah. Tea shock. It's not that hard. They look at the spelling of it and they don't know what to do. Today's episode is sponsored by Proper Order Coffee, by the way.
And it's proper coffee by proper order.
Yeah. So we've got the new, we've got the, so he's not going to be the teacher, which personally, I don't know what your feelings are on it. I mean, what's your feelings on Simon Harris is going to be the new Taoiseach?
Like, if I'm being totally honest, like politically, you know, I couldn't really be arsed with the youngest Taoiseach that we've ever had, which is awesome. But do I think I could take him in a fight 100%? You know? Snap him too.
It's so true. It's so true. He is the guy. I was thinking that today when I was walking down to meet you. I was thinking that, like, he'll be the leader of the country. He'll have the most power. But I 100% know that there's a civil servant working for him going, shut up, Simon. Just totally. I was thinking about, you'll do what you're told, Simon. Yeah, absolutely. I will, absolutely. Do you know what I mean? That's his vibe.
100%. Oh, did you see that clip where he's like, and to anyone who says that this party is dire, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm like, I know what you were trying to say there, that you were trying to bring energy, but one, it looks like you haven't slept in 3 days.
Yeah. You couldn't have looked more exhausted in that clip. It's so true. Was that recently at the weekend at the end that was, at the Ardèche?
Yeah, I think when they nominate, when everyone kind of pulled out of running.
So the Fine Gaelers had this big political party where they get together and, you know, they, and a part of it, he was nominated and made the official new leader, and he was just trying to be the hard man, kind of like, you know, rally the troops kind of. He's not a rallying the troops kind of guy, is he?
He's not. He's kind of just get it in, push the pen and get it done, you know what I mean? Like, but I'll tell you this, right, I'll ask you this question, folks at home, I don't know if you feel the same.
It better not be about Simon Harris making love, is that?
No, it's not. But that's, I mean, that's for the, obviously the next
for
sentence.
For the Patreon episode.
And the OnlyFans clips. But, like, you know, if I said to you, go to this restaurant, it's a great restaurant, and you walked into that restaurant and there was nobody else sitting in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Would you not be a bit like, there's something going on here, you
know? You'd either straight away think it's closed, or it's really exclusive.
Yeah.
Nobody knows about it.
Or it's given several people the shits. So, like, that's what, how I feel about this, like, him getting the job. It's like, you know, when everyone's like, no, go ahead, no, you're grand. Yeah, and he's like, okay.
He thinks this is great. It's amazing. That's your absolute nail on the head. 100%. He thinks this is a great idea. To be the leader of the country. He's not feeling the temperature of the room, is he?
No. And I'd say the IMF are booking their flights or something. Something's about to break, you know. Yeah.
It is mad. He's 37. I don't know what... Leo was young as well, but he wasn't that young.
I think he was... I don't know how old he was when he took office, but he's only in his 40s. He's still in his 40s,
Our previous Irish Prime Minister. Our previous Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. He was fairly young as well. So Simon's even younger. It is a bit mad. Even my mum, I went over to my mum's for dinner the other night. You know, I was thinking, but she's from Argentina. But she was like, I was thinking one of my sons could be Taoiseach. You know what that age? And I was like, I feckin' should, mum. Yeah. I should.
Stephen for Taoiseach, right? Let's get it started.
Genuinely, would you do it?
No, I think when because politics is definitely something that I've thought about before. I've done journalism for my degree, so I was thinking about it. But I think I would rather be the invisible person in the background pulling the strings than...
So the head civil, the Dominic Cummings, like...
Exactly, the little chef in Ratatouille, you know, that's what I'd rather be than the actual...
The analogies are amazing, Shane. The little chef.
Don't know where they're coming from. It's the proper coffee from proper order.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Because I definitely had an interest as well. Mm. And when I was in lockdown, I did the Trinity Access Programme, and one of the courses that I was thinking of going on to doing the degree was one of the political sciences ones.
Class.
Or whatever. But the more I kind of looked into it and the more I talked to a few people about doing it, they were like, no, you don't. A, don't do it, but B, you don't need to know about political science to be a politician, as you can see.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, in this country, everywhere in the world, you don't have to have a knowledge of politics to be the President of the United States of America.
100%.
But... I get the impression, certainly in this country, the type of individual that becomes a politician is not the type of people that certainly artists and comedians are. You have to love bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love rules admin. And regulations. You've got to love admin. You do have to love admin.
Yeah.
You have to be able to be the king of small talk and talking shite.
Absolutely.
And not getting to the point. And it's just the most... I did join a political party in lockdown as well.
Did
I was
you?
Very bored. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm like,
where is this going?
Work dried up completely, so I joined a political
party. I joined a political party. Well, it's just, I was kind of more interested to kind of go more in depth politically and just, I don't know, I was interested at the time and I thought, if I joined a political party, maybe I'll get into it a bit more. And so I joined the Social Democrats.
Okay.
And yeah, it was like, I didn't enjoy it.
No? No. It's funny, I can see, like, you know, you'd look great on a purple background. You
yeah,
know
purple,
what I mean?
Yeah, purple, yeah, yeah, totally. But so, because I don't even understand, I don't think, and I don't think people in general understand how politics work in a lot of ways, but becoming a member of the party only means that you would go to their Ardeshes and stuff, you'd vote for the next candidates in your area and all okay. that kind of stuff, and that's kind of it. You can get involved in campaigns and helping to go around and get whoever the next seat around here, handing out leaflets and doing the doorsteps
yeah.
and all that. But, like, as a member, I suppose you can move up and...
I was going to say, how do you move up? Like, how do you
I don't really know. But okay. what I will say is I was part of... maybe I shouldn't have said the name of the party, but you end up in a bloody WhatsApp group, right? Always. That's just the way life goes, isn't it?
That's most Irish politics.
WhatsApp group. And it was pretty horrific. It wasn't nice because... I was shocked at how people weren't nice about other people that didn't think about the way that they do politically. And the nicest person in there was the actual TD, the sitting TD. He was constantly having to go, okay, we don't talk like that, or we don't do this, or we don't do that.
Good.
So it was kind of like even at the, I remember one person suggesting in the WhatsApp group, because this was in COVID times, I think we should push for the TD. He needs to propose in the Dáil that there needs to be a cut-off time for when the news are allowed to talk about COVID at 6 p.m. because it's not good for my mental health. I'm not joking. That was a serious... And people started kind of responding to this, and it was just like somebody literally had to go, like, that's communism. You can't... You
that's
know
absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, yeah, like,
and also somebody literally just wrote in, just turn off your radio.
Don't watch the news, you know?
Yeah, like you have complete autonomy to what it is that you want to consume. Do you know what I mean?
Not to be, you know, a 60-year-old boomer, but... That feels very snowflakey. You know what I mean?
So snowflakey.
As me and my friends in the Ireland is Full group would...
I'm joking, sorry.
But, you know what I mean? Just
totally.
Unplug the telly.
Unplug the telly and kind of like... It's mad. I feel like we live in this weird time where... But like, I hate the whole left versus right conversation because it's so uncomplex and people are way more complex than that. But in the left versus right, and people need to hold on to a team, isn't it? Or something like that.
That's it.
And they both sides go too far.
100%, but that's it. And then they become... It's a globe then, isn't it? Like, it just comes back around to the same behaviours and stuff that we don't like to see. This is probably the most serious conversation I think I've ever seen on this podcast.
Wow.
I don't know if...
I think it's beautiful. And I think we've done a great job.
I think so too.
We'll come back to politics next week. Now, it's time for a break.
Na, 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 na.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Talk to you about.
Go
I don't
on.
Know if you've been
Go
following
on.
The drama But Nike have brought out a New England jersey, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure, everyone in Ireland's delighted about the New England jersey.
We're all buzzing for it. I've been saving for months. But they have changed the St. George's Cross in the back of the neck.
That's right.
And people in England are losing their tiny minds.
They are going mental about it. If you don't know, the George's Cross is on the England flag. Some of you might be watching this in the States or whatever. On the England flag, it's a white flag with a red cross. But it's a real symbol of, like, you can see it on the front of a shield and then when they're taking over the world, you know, the knights of the realm or whatever like that. But on the new football jersey, colonialism.
Yeah.
But when the English football team, Nike, make their jerseys, they brought out a new jersey and on the back of it, it's not a red cross. What did they do, Sinead?
They gayified it.
They
gave it a limp wrist and a pair of Vans.
St. George. Oh, we love the bats of limb. Don't know where that's coming out of. Oh, St. George. Look at him with his big lance.
Spear me.
Sinead.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, very serious matter, St. George's Cross. So they've made it blue, purple. I'm not even going to say pink because I don't think there's pink in there. Right. But anyway, and which, whatever, that's fine. And it, like we said, England fans losing their minds. Mm. However, instead of directing their anger at Nike, who made the thing, they are now blaming the woke brigade and the LGBTQ community. So, I mean, the gays are at it again.
The gays are at it again. So they have, for some reason, which, by the way, I mean, we'll get into it in a second as to why they did that with the colour, but people have jumped straight. It's weird how anything weird, bad happens or people disagree with somebody and it's all of a sudden, it's the gay people.
It's the gays!
It's the gays' fault as to why this St. George's Cross has been changed into, like, it's still a cross, but it has purple and navy and it's just not straight red. It's just got some angular different colours in it. And for some reason, people have managed to kind of go, oh, that's the gays. That's the gays after 100%. Doing that.
100%. And, like,
it's completely unrelated, by the way, just so everybody to know.
Absolutely. Like, and what, in my lifetime, since 1990, Ireland have changed the crest 3 times.
Oh, good. Anyway, good research, maybe, Sinead. Right? I like that.
And football is my special interest. And but I think, and even in the 80s, they had a different crest again, right? So so that's like 4 times in the last, 30, 40 years. And
I actually couldn't tell you what the Ireland crest is now. Soccer, and I'm a big soccer fan.
Yeah. So
but it has changed a lot.
Yeah, they have.
Is it still FAI with the...
It's not. It's like
a new one recently.
Football Ireland. Yeah. Because they're trying to move away from the old John Delaney ice sculptures at the birthday party kind of.
Your research is insane. I was talking about this on McSavage's podcast.
Were
and
you?
He didn't believe me. It was like, yeah. And I thought I was making it up because I'd read the beginning of that book. Sorry, we've
Champagne
segued.
Football.
Yeah. There's this book about the guy who is the CEO, Chief Executive Officer of the Football Association of Ireland, corrupt AF, right? And he literally, for his 50th birthday party, had used FAI money to make ice sculptures outside of his gaff for the party and all that. It was absolutely
crazy.
Insane. But sorry, segued. So 3 times it has...
Three times in my lifetime. And we've just kind of, you know, typical Irish, we've kind of gone, okay.
Yeah.
Is it still a shamrock?
Mm.
Yeah. Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. You
is
know?
It, yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But like, and I understand it is frustrating.
But also, the exact point you made there, they haven't changed the crest.
No.
The England football crest is exactly the same. It's
three
got
lines.
Three lines on it. And they don't necessarily always have, or maybe I'm wrong, but as far as I know, I don't necessarily know that they've always had a St. George's cross on the jersey somewhere.
No, yeah, I couldn't hang my hand that. I don't actually have a collection of England jerseys at home, despite popular belief and allegations and rumours. But but exactly that. Like, it's a symbol more so than a... than I know it's their flag or whatever, but it's not the crest.
It's not the football crest. Yeah.
And look, I get it. Be upset about it. Absolutely, if you want to be upset. But, like, don't blame the gays.
Yeah, it's completely unreal. It was like, I don't know how it became people are getting too woke. It happened so quick. I mean, we're not over-dramatising the situation. You've got to understand people who don't know about this situation. The Prime Minister, not the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Rishi Sunak of the United Kingdom spoke about this and gave out about it. Do you know that?
I didn't know that. No, I didn't know.
This has gone right to the top. The Labour leader, the leader of the opposition, Keir Starmer, also said it's a disgrace and all that. Like, it went to the top of politics that this is an absolute disgrace. Now,
Well, I'd be interested to see, like, I do kind of wanted to kind of, just for the crack, a bit of fucking ructions that, like, sales do tank on it or something
like
that.
Yeah, I would love
that,
yeah, yeah.
A bit of crack. But, there was, like, huge upset about
this. That's wild. And, like, just, you know, I've had jobs, you've had jobs where, you know, you have to go through maybe several rounds of sign-off to get, you know. So, my question is, who signed it off?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Are they shitting themselves at the moment? Because
yeah, totally. Well, do you know where it originally came? Where the idea for the cross has come from?
No.
So Nike have said, I should have had the reach. Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to bring. The
Paraphrase.
Nike have said it is inspired by the England team, the last England team to win the World Cup in 1966. They don't really talk about it much.
you might have never heard of that.
Last time England won the World Cup at Wembley was in 1966, mm-hmm. and they had training tops. That the trim on the training tops had purple and navy and something else on it. So that's the inspiration for the coloured cross on the back.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's literally a heritage reason. Like incorporating English football history as to why they did the cross that colour on the back of it.
Sure.
That was their reasoning for it.
I thought Nike were having a bit of crack with it, in which case I was like, come on.
No.
Now. You know what I mean?
No, they actually thought it through. That's the actual inspiration. It's a footballing heritage reason as to why that they've gone and done that. And somehow they blamed the Woke Brigade.
Oh my God. England, your sense of... I don't know, stability or emotional.
Reality.
Yeah, reality.
Yeah, or just
is
even
very thin.
I don't know. Are we all guilty of it? Like the bit of critical thinking skills is just. It's a bit like, rather than going mad, like I can't believe they blamed the gays.
I don't. It's like there's a content creator I love on TikTok, and his videos are class. And
so are they going mad about it on TikTok?
He's a young player. He's like 21, right? So you wouldn't really expect this kind of like crack out of him. And he put up a big dramatic video the other day, music and everything. He's like, yo, it's Woke Brigade gone mad. And I commented, I was like, dude, I understand if you're upset. Mm. And actually, I agree with you. Because again, if they manipulate the Ireland flag, without, like I said, without good reason. And I didn't realise that Nike, I should have read about that. But I was like, you're blaming the wrong people. And he's just like, no, I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the gays. It's the bloody gays.
You can't blame the gays for. I mean, what can we blame the gays for? I don't know a lot. Well,
I'd say the popularity of Vans definitely
very
is
very good. I was thinking clothes wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because for example, I loved Fred Perry for years. This is nothing to do with gays, but certain people had ruined Fred Perry for a while, and now it's back again. It's come back. I think it's all right again. But there was like little young fellas running around here going, I'm going to box the bleeding head off. And he's like, I really like your polo shirt, mate.
Yeah.
And, now I can't wear it, you know? Because, you know, I'm not...
Well, you know, as Irish people, we never blame the Brits for anything. We, you know, only speak highly of them.
Very highly.
Yeah.
I do, because I've lived there. I do I do love them. They're great. And I do, and I, like, probably in an unhealthy way, I'm not saying I agree with his politics, okay, but I did enjoy Boris Johnson a lot.
Absolutely.
From an entertainment point of view.
From a distance.
Absolute, amazingly full of shit.
Yeah.
And just like, it's just entertainment. 100%. You can't write this stuff.
You know? No. And do you know what I found with it? I don't know if you kind of felt like this about it, but you know, with like Donald Trump being in charge of America at around the same time, I was genuinely like nervous, you know,
totally.
He could hit the button by accident. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he could really shoot
like
the world.
He thought
shit.
He was grabbing another.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's so vile. But then with Boris Johnson, it was kind of like, I can't do it.
No.
But then with Boris Johnson, it was kind of like watching a child run around in a padded cell.
Totally.
Where you were like, he's having the crack.
And he kind of was, he wouldn't even deny that if you said that to him. He's like, you don't give a bollocks, Jack. And he'd be like, you.
Yeah. But like, it was like, he could definitely... I'm sure there is damage he can cause, but it feels like significantly less danger than the other clown across the other side of the pond.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, if you have any questions or comments on the England situation or how you feel about national identity, flags, all that kind of stuff. My flags, it's fucking...
The intro you gave me is really, like, it's just coming back to, like, haunt us really, isn't it?
I better cut it out.
No, you're all right.
No. So, speaking of national identities or... I think we... Yeah, well, I was thinking a lot about Irish identity in the last couple of weeks because we've had a kind of a an interesting, very... what's the word for opposites? Clashing? Paradoxical? I don't know. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I have to Google the dictionary. Google the dictionary.
Google
that doesn't
Google
make sense.
First and then Google.
But we've had really contrasting two big figures in Irish culture that have couldn't be more opposites, I was thinking, the last few weeks. And I'm thinking of a movie that came out called Roadhouse and a movie that won at the Oscars called Oppenheimer. And I'm, of course, talking about the two male lead, well, not Conor's lead, but Conor McGregor versus Cillian Murphy.
Absolutely,
and these
yeah.
two couldn't be more opposite people in there. And I think the reason I wanted to bring it up is because I was in London recently, I was with some friends, and there's this assumption from people outside Ireland that we all love Conor McGregor. especially in the US. And obviously he makes a fortune off that idea.
Absolute fortune.
That you know, he thinks everybody love him. But I mean, I don't know what you, because I started off in the, well, I was in a band, and then I started off in acting. And my guy, my hero that I was looking towards a little bit because he's from Cork as well,
yeah,
was
yeah.
Cillian Murphy.
Of course, yeah.
Because he was such a guy of, like, there was no bullshit, no celebrity stuff, all about the work. That's
absolutely.
All he ever gave a shit about. So I really, like, looked up to him. I had the pleasure of meeting him very, very briefly once.
Gosh.
And it was pretty cool. But he's such a cool guy. But I mean, I don't know. What do you think? But I think Conor is the most un-Irish Irish person. Certainly publicly.
I think that's fair. I think, like back in the day when he was kind of lifting off or whatever,
yes.
I was a big fan of him.
Great story. Me too. Had the t-shirt, 100%. Had the D-Throne t-shirt.
And yeah. I used to train out in SBG in the
Long Mile
Road. So he was there and he was always quite like, you know, quiet in terms of like he wasn't mouthing off in the
course,
gym or
yeah,
he wasn't,
yeah,
you know, he was just in
cracking
doing the work
on.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
100%. And then you can literally see the point where it just tips, like, you know, there was the Mayweather, it was the double belt win,
yes.
I think, and then when he went from that to the Mayweather fight and,
yeah.
and things like that.
I
and
think,
then,
do you think it was the moment that when he went, I think it was the double belt one where he went, I'd like to apologise, and you thought,
absolutely.
Oh, he's gonna chill out here for a second because he was a bit rough in the build up to this fight. Absolutely nobody, and I was like, I think that was the beginning of the tipping.
100%.
Because then it went to the Floyd Mayweather
and then,
thing.
And then it went from, you know, like, you know, like him just being very Dublin and very kind of, you know, trying to, I suppose, enunciate in the things to, then it became to him just constantly like, hey,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Knock the block off, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm boxing. I always remember screaming
that. Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm boxing.
I am boxing.
And I suppose all the other stuff in the news, which we, you know, will or won't get into, I suppose, just for everyone.
We won't, because I'm not getting sued by Conor McGregor.
No. I suppose if our income stapled together wouldn't even begin to cover that, you
wouldn't
know.
Be, yeah.
But, like, mate, at the end of the day, like, just get geared out of the head. That's what he does. He gets geared up and then, you know, rocks around punching owl lads.
Famously, that was all over the news. Like, punching an old man in a pub because the old man didn't want to accept him shoving whiskey in front of him. And it was just, like, insane. Like, the most un-Irish carry-on. Which, I mean, because, to be honest with you, we could get into a major deep rant on it. But people from outside Ireland, you've got to understand that is very un-Irish, that carry on. That's an Americanized version of Irish, and we're all a clan, the nation is behind me and all this stuff. That is not
shite,
a leak.
Like,
he's probably the most unpopular person on the island.
I would say definitely thereabouts.
Yeah.
Like him and, like, I don't know. Yeah,
Leo Varadkar is definitely up there as well. Do you know what I mean? I mean, and Bono. But, like,
he definitely is.
Bono's like, a good guy, but he's just kind of, that's why we hate him.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he's like all about peace and love, and we're like, you know, but yeah, it's the smugness, isn't it? But I think with Conor McGregor, he's genuinely like playing into the stereotype or the character.
Exactly.
But you know what kills me as well, right? I know you're from Cork. I lived in Cork for a few years myself. I'm so delighted Cillian Murphy won the Oscars. He's a gent and he deserves every success coming to him. But, like, as a dub, I'm sitting here going, oh, that's what they think we're all like. That's what they think we're all like. And they're like, oh, look at Cillian. He's so cultured.
They all think that McGregor's like that.
Yeah, all dubs are like that, you know.
Cillian.
All the Cork people think that Dublin people are like Conor McGregor, you know.
You know, you're right. You're right, because he is dubbing it up in a way that is not representative of all dubs in the way. And there is such a thing as the great working class dub who is like solid in the culture of Dublin, and the and there is a bit of brashness in the dub humour, for example. Like, I remember that was a big adjustment for me when I moved up as a kid. But and cheeky, and there is a slight like a slight arrogance, but like he's brought it to this this next level where he's gonna he's amped it up.
Yeah,
it's been fueled, and it's just like no, it's not like and but he is kind of fueling people from outside Dublin's kind of perception of what they like to give out about Dublin, and then it's like I do notice like as soon as I take the Mickey out of him. In a comedy club, it's like, because they love it, something for them to laugh about.
100%. And can I just say, on behalf of all Dubliners, truly, with the way Conor McGregor is going on, we are scarlet.
Scarlet.
Absolutely scarlet.
He couldn't have put it better. Which, of course, he's, did you see, Mike Rice, I was talking about him on his podcast.
I saw.
And, oh, it was so funny. The Conor McGregor comments undergoing, he says, retarded and inbred. And then like, Mike reposted saying, ironically, that's what everyone was saying about Conor McGregor's performance in Roadhouse. Which I like, started watching last night, but I haven't got to the bit where he comes in yet. But okay, I do have to watch it for the crack.
Can you just imagine being Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Working your nuts off for years and years and years and acting serious roles. Like genuinely, some mould-breaking roles there.
Mm.
And then you get cast for a remake of Roadhouse, which the original film is pretty... Pretty,
again,
you know,
like Shannon was talking
film.
About this the other day as well. I have, I didn't even know there was an original.
Yeah,
I
no, it's a, like I watched it like many years. Right. I think it was something my parents were watching, and I was like, oh, what's this? But like decent action film, you know what I mean? In the same way, I don't know. I don't want to say Die Hard, but you know what you're getting, kind of thing, and it's grand. And then you're Jake Gyllenhaal. You get recast in this remake, or you get cast in this remake. Happy days, buzzing. And then this fucking Egypt comes in like
but I presume,
crown.
I presume this was a deal that like that they was struck because I mean it's just going to make big bucks.
100%. But then I reckon as well, what this would have been cast. I don't know, you know film better than I do. So what, maybe 2 years ago, maybe
possibly,
2.5
yeah,
years
maybe
ago.
More, yeah.
And so like I
probably
I
just
feel,
after he broke his leg, probably.
Yeah. So I feel like his stock would have even been probably higher back then. You know.
Yeah.
And yeah, he fought against. The Dustin and all that kind of stuff broke his leg. And then, so his stock arguably would have been higher, but now he's just a drunken gearhead, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he's off. But like, this is what happens is we've now spent more time talking about him than we have Cillian Murphy.
Cillian, yeah, exactly.
Because that's what happens. That's the McGregor thing works. We've
You're
been
talking about me, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. But Cillian is, like, to me, was a massive hero. But like, his performance in Oppenheimer for me was. Insane. I remember talking to Deirdre O'Kane after it. She knows him very well.
Oh.
And talking to her on the phone. And we were talking about the film. I went to see it in IMAX at the time when I was in Edinburgh and got the whole shakes from it. It
that
was like,
cinema in Edinburgh is great as well. Oh.
It was such a sensory experience. It was insane. But, and then it wasn't through talking that through it that I went, I didn't even think about it. I'd forgotten about Cillian's performance.
Yeah.
That's how good it was. You were completely and utterly in the character's head for the whole thing. It feels like you're wrestling with the dilemmas that he's wrestling through and all that. Cause, now, I did meet some very prominent actors recently who literally went, oh, I thought it was boring. Now, is that actor jealousy? Or kind of, do you know what I think it is?
I think it's jealousy, but then at the same time, like, I love history and I know that kind of thing isn't everyone's taste.
Yeah.
But I think what that film really done, sorry, we're getting serious here again.
Yeah.
I think what that film done was really, and what Cillian had done really well was like brought the human element
Absolutely.
To it. To what is ultimately a turning point for humanity and war and all that kind
Absolutely.
Of stuff. But like you were, exactly what you said, you were so engrossed. And I think the mark of a really good actor is when you're no longer watching the screen
totally.
And going, oh, there's Robert De Niro, there's
totally.
Cillian Murphy. And he nailed that, I
Totally.
Thought.
I never thought about him for the whole
100%.
Film. 100%. And again, speaking to more, that to me is more Irish, how Cillian is off the screen. About the work, humility, but also able to completely stand in the fire and be proud of who he is as well at the same time and achieve what he's done. To me, that's more right. We're not that, as a people, I don't think we're like that really.
No, I think.
That's like more of St. George's Cross Brigade that are out in Santa Pons going, we're not. You know, we do like the pints like abroad and all that kind of stuff, but we'll have the crack with the logo. We'll get on with everybody 100%. As well.
My just a little fact for you, right? When we were kids, my mum used to say to me, so I'm a Man United fan, we'd be going away on holidays and I'd, of course, be like packing my Man United jersey and she'd be like, don't do that, people think we're English. And then we'd have a fight and then we'd get into an argument about it. So then we'd always settle on bringing the Ireland jerseys
Brilliant.
On holidays so people wouldn't think that
it's
we were English.
Isn't it, it's a funny old culture that we have to wear jerseys when we're abroad. Gadget, Dubs jerseys.
100%. What was I going to say? One thing on the Cillian Murphy thing I wanted to say, that like really hats off to him. You know, he obviously lost a lot of weight for that role.
Yeah.
And one thing I thought was really cool was I was watching an interview with him. It was just a clip of an interview on, I was reading an article on TikTok. But I thought it was really cool because the interviewer asked him, like, what was the diet like to get? And he was like, I actually don't really want to get into that, if that's okay, because I don't want people, like, you know, knowing what it is and jumping on that bandwagon,
yeah,
you know? Hats off, Cillian.
Even all his interviews, he's like, as I said, he doesn't like, he is, like, those aspects of him going, that he says it in interviews, he doesn't like to talk about himself. It reminds me of a guy that I was in school with, who's now a farmer. He wasn't from a farming family, but he got into farming in school. I met him in a chipper in the town I grew up in Middleton, and his name was Dominic Cronin. So shout out to Dominic, because it's only ever good about you, Dominic.
Big D.
Everybody loved Dominic. Aww. And if you ever paid him a compliment, he'd be like, oh, shut up. It's just like, he would never. He was the best golfer. He was the best hurler. He was the best Gaelic football player. He's the best soccer player. He was brilliant at everything, and everybody loved Dom. And if you went up and go, you're a fucking class, like, shut up, boy, shut up. Just, like, it doesn't, like, I'm happy doing it, but I don't need this adulation type
that's
of thing.
That's wild.
So that reminds me, Dom reminds me of Cillian Murphy. Like, there's a lot of that going around.
What a compliment, Stephen.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I know. Yeah, there you go, Dom. If you're ever watching this, I met him in Cahan's Chipper on the main street in Middleton years ago, and I was like, I Dom the Cronin. And he was like, oh, he's Stephen Weiss. Like, I hadn't seen him in 15 years. Like, it was mad.
Do you know what, mate, right? And you have this on camera now. You know, I love Cork, and I love Cork people. And one thing I always find, because, you know, we all outside of Cork, we're always like, sure, nobody loves Cork more than Cork people.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, I always very humble and kind of, you know, like, always up for the crack. But then when I moved down there, I was obviously bracing myself for a lot of slagging. And I did get a lot of slagging. My second day in work, I walked in the job I moved down for, and someone had written on the chalkboard saying, "And Dublin ruling Cork." But anyway, but people would be like, you know, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, Dublin. You're living down here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Why? I thought you were meant to be proud of this kid.
They do, yeah, they're kind of like, well, that is an unusual move, to be fair.
You
wouldn't get many dubs going on Cork.
But I tell you what, it's a no-brainer. It's like the worst kept secret in the world.
It's great.
Great city.
It's great. It's a great city. I've been struggling with the last few times I've been back. I'm like, oh, God, I miss this kind of a thing. You know? It's been a long time since I lived there. But
honestly think if it wasn't for stand-up comedy and Dublin being the centre of the earth when it comes to Irish stand-up comedy, I would probably be either there or in a far-flung part of Dingle. But anyway.
Yeah. Listen, Sinead, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for
having me. Where do people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok, Sinead Walsh Comedy. I am on tour again in the coming months. So Carlow, Derry, Belfast are the next couple of dates. So follow me, grab a few tickets if you're from there. It would be a pleasure to see you.
Absolutely. Sinead's great. You should follow her on all the platforms. If you have any questions, send them to me at the Stephen Mullen or at Sinead. And please like, subscribe, share about this podcast, share with all your mates. We really need the money.
Yeah, tell randomers at the bus stop anything, please.
That would be cool. We should do that.
Yeah, we should. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.